I talk to people all the time. Someone even told me once they thought I'd be a good talk show host.
Really?
Yeah, a couple of people. How do you get that, though? Where do you start? You can't just walk into a building and say, I want to be a talk show host.
I wouldn't think so.
It's all politics.
The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Silver of Studio. Welcome! So, I was listening to the story. They still don't have any suspects in this takeover-style robbery.
No.
Eight people were tied up. Customers and employees. Two, we have since learned, since yesterday, were sexually assaulted.
That's right.
I have great respect and admiration for Ryan Abbott. You played a sound clip from Ryan Abbott, and we've been trying for the last couple of days to get him to come on and tell us the very latest on that. And, you know, I love Ryan Abbott. I love the men and women who work for the King County Sheriff's Office. I believe the petty little tyrant, Liz Rocha, who runs the sheriff's office for $181,000 a year salary, is Mitzi's chief of staff. I don't think she's going to let him come on our show.
I am going to say that I believe Ryan, if he's not speaking, is because there are things.
We'll see.
I hope that that's not it, because honestly, he has been really good.
He's fantastic.
And it's not on him.
No, he's not on him. And he has been, even though there was that stuff boiling over, you know, for weeks now.
But, yeah, I mean, you know, ever since I read the texts I've gotten from people who used to work with Liz Rocha and people in the sheriff's department who explain how widely despised she is. And then, you know, we talk about how she's making a fortune compared to her predecessor because she's been 20-year friends with Mitzi. And so now she's making $181,000 a year. I believe my best guess, and my best guesses are usually always correct, that she has blackballed our radio show because we have done great news exposing the problems in the King County Sheriff's Department. And I find it funny.
If she was doing it to, you know, if she didn't want to talk about a criticism we had of her or something that they chose to do, that would be one thing. But we wanted to get the word out there for public safety purposes. Yeah. Yeah. And if she's preventing us from doing that, that's something.
Well, in this particular case, I mean, PIO does work for the public. And in this particular case, we're not talking about the politics. We're talking about
a news story. We're talking about a...
And if whoever's in the office, if in fact that has been said, should not be politicizing it.
Well, no. But again, it just reveals what is such an essential problem with the leadership, the men and women. I mean, like I told you, I've had so many people who work for the King County Sheriff's Office who work Seahawk games, and they've come up to me and they've said, thank you. You know, we helped get that system back, the inter-office or inter-department communication system. But look, Mitzi Jo Hanknik and Liz Rocha, they care more about illegals than they did the lives of cops. We exposed that, and we got the system restored for the cops who were being put in danger. They apparently care more about their little pettiness than they do public safety. Because, you know, here we are trying to get word out about the truck and by the way, we've got a detailed description of the truck. What's the description of the suspects?
They were masked. That's all I have. I wasn't here yesterday.
No, because nothing else has been released. And it's hard for me to believe that there's nothing that they can figure out, because I heard that at least one or two of them were masked, but there were three suspects. And
I will say this, just in the many, many years that I've worked in this business, that sometimes police specifically don't give all the information that they have because maybe they're getting close to making an arrest or they don't want to mess up the investigation. So there is that possibility.
It's possible. I think that they usually don't release suspect descriptions because of political correctness reasons. That's been my experience. But again, so tell me, because you know a lot more about this. So a PIO is I mean, first
it's public information officer.
Their first priority is to disseminate news, and here we have one of the largest audiences possible.
And I will say that you've mentioned, Sergeant Ryan Abbott has been fantastic.
He's one of my favorite.
He is really one of the best.
He's one of my favorite that we've ever done. I think Troyer is fantastic. I thought before he was
Lakewood Police has an excellent PIO. Yeah. I mean, there are people who are excellent about being available.
And that is why we're convinced that it's this reason.
Yeah. Yeah. 2 days now. And again, it's funny just because it, again, reveals how leadership at the King County Sheriff's Office cares more about, as I said, in the case of that interdepartment messaging system, they cared more about illegals than the lives of cops. They care more about the pettiness that Mitzi Johanknik, who is a proven liar, and Liz Rocha, who is, you know, just a, by every account, people who have worked with her, is just an absolute horrible leader, as she's been given more and more control as a chief of staff, which makes almost no sense. And the fact that a chief of staff makes $181,000 a year is insane. I mean, talk about just ripping off taxpayers. But their pettiness is what they care about more than their job. And, it doesn't affect us. We still get the info. But it's pretty dramatic. You want to talk about a swamp, man? The leadership. You got these great people who work as deputies and detectives for King County Sheriffs, and you have a leadership that is as exemplary of a swamp as you get in politics. And that's a shame because the Ryan Abbotts and the other deputies and detectives, they are awesome, awesome people. Okay, I got one other thing before I get to the local stuff that I have. There's one story. I sat and listened to a 45-minute podcast interview with a dad this morning. And this story is, you know, we're seeing this around here an awful lot. And these transgender child issues are coming up with just amazing regularity. And as I've said many times, any adult who wants to be something else than they are biologically, who cares? Unless it's, you know, a man winning a women's cycling world championship. In that case, I think that the biology is an essential factor in the story. But I think that, you know, starting to chemically castrate children, 7-year-olds, this is a story out of Texas. The father is Jeffrey Younger. The mother is Dr. Anne Georgelis. And they had a bitter divorce. And it appears that they are, or that the mom is using their 7-year-old son as just, I mean, this is one of the worst things you're going to hear today. Because the mom is insisting that their son is a girl. And the dad has seen nothing of that. And it's tearing this dad apart because it really started to emerge through the divorce where it appeared the mom was using turning their son into a girl as a tool of torture against the dad. The dad's name again, Jeffrey Younger. He was on a podcast that a guy named Luke Macias did.
My name is Jeff Younger. I'm the father of two boys, James and Jude. My ex-wife claims that James is a transgendered girl, and she has to date actually socially transitioned him, meaning that he wears a dress at her home. He has a new made-up name, Luna, appears in the court filings. He goes to school. The teachers call him Luna. He uses the girls' bathroom at school. All of his authority figures, his mother, his teacher, the librarian at school, the police officer at school, the principals at school, say he's a girl. I'm the only authority figure in his life that tells him the truth, that he's actually a boy.
And here's when mom began transitioning him.
His mother has enrolled him at the Genesis Clinic GENECIS clinic at Children's Hospital, and he has been diagnosed with gender dysphoria, and they have him on the Dutch protocol. The first step is social transitioning. The second step is hormone transitioning, where they will apply hormones to him that will prevent the natural growth of his sexual organs, effectively chemical castration of this boy. The third step is surgical transition, which they do as early as 15 years old in the state of Texas.
Okay. Surgical transition. And here, we're only hearing the dad's side of the story, but here is how the mother has been coercing this out of the boy.
And then Miss Georgelis, my ex-wife's name is Ann Georgelis. Miss Georgelis was putting my son into timeouts, and she would lock him in his room and say that the monsters only eat boys.
If that's true, that's about as despicable as a parent gets.
His mother was telling him that he was a girl. She was dressing him as a girl. She was putting nail polish on him and encouraging him to act like a girl. And my personal assessment, this isn't from James, but my personal assessment was that she was only giving him love and affection if he acted like a girl.
And here's how all this began.
Around James's, getting close to his fifth birthday party, I start noticing that he's coming out of the house when I go to pick him up, coming out of Miss Georgelis's house crying. And it took me a couple of times picking him up to sort of understand why. It was because his fingernails were painted, or he was wearing girl shoes, or other things. So I asked her to stop sending him out in girl's clothing or dress like a girl. He doesn't like it. When his fifth birthday party arrived, she made that basically his coming out party. He showed up in a dress, and a number of people at my church attended and talked to our priest about it, were very upset about it. And from that point forward, he dressed full-time as a girl, and she enrolled him in school the next summer, when summer ended, enrolled him in school as a girl named Luna.
And so, again, the dad's side of the story is he's always wanted to be a boy, has acted like a boy around me, is embarrassed that mom does this. And again, we're only hearing the dad's story here. But if the mom is truly using this, and you can hear the pain in the dad's voice, if she's really using this 7-year-old child just so that she can torture the man she was going through this bitter divorce with, that's just pure evil. And here's what she asked the courts for.
She claimed that I was abusing James because I refused to affirm his female gender identity. She sought to enjoin me from using masculine pronouns. So she wants the court to prevent parental speech towards a child. She wants the court to force me to go to transgender education that I have to actually pass. That is, I could fail the education. On raising transgender children and the importance and care of affirming their chosen gender identity. She wants to reduce my visitation to the point where I have no overnight visits. And further, she wants to enjoin my speech outside of the home so that I can never present James as a boy to the outside world, nor use his real name, nor use masculine pronouns, even when I speak about him when he's not even there.
And so here's what a judge did.
The first thing they did is they attempted to implement what they wanted in their petition, to simply not allow me to have any overnight stays, and if I don't affirm that James is a girl, I don't get to see him at all. The judge said, no, I'm not going to do that, but the judge did put me under an injunction.
Okay.
And I am enjoined on pain of criminal contempt from presenting my son as a boy to any third party that already knows him as a girl.
Okay.
All right. I am enjoined from attempting to persuade my son that he is actually a boy. That is the actual language of the injunction.
Okay.
I'm not to give my son any undue embarrassment. Right. So, which all of these things severely constrain my public speech, obviously, right? Anything could be considered, like right now what I'm doing could be considered too embarrassing.
And so here you have a dad who cares, who loves, who's torn apart, who thinks that this is the wife because of the divorce, and he's just in absolute turmoil.
How do I address my own son now? I can't use his real name, and I can't use masculine pronouns. At school. So there's no way to actually address my son without affirming something that's against my religious beliefs and that's scientifically false.
So that's really important, too, that here you have a court telling a citizen of the United States that they have to speak in a way that violates his instincts as a parent and his faith. And that's when government gets its very scariest. And he thinks it's much more serious than that, too.
And I want you to imagine having electronic communication with your son on FaceTime. And imagine that your ex-wife has dressed him as a drag queen to talk to you. He has false eyelashes and makeup. His hair's got glitter in it. He's wearing a dress. Now, imagine how you would feel seeing what I believe is actual sexual abuse. I believe this is not just emotional abuse, but is the very most fundamental form of sexual abuse, tampering with the sexual identity of a vulnerable boy.
And there was just another jury this week, just yesterday, 11 out of 12, that affirmed what's been going on with this 7-year-old child, and it is tearing this father apart.
Every single day, you have to see your son sexually abused, and you have to maintain your calm. You have to be the one who's calm, because the courts are not going to be fair to you. And the only way you can survive this and get your son through this alive is to calmly allow your son to be tortured right before your eyes and outlast the opposition. That's what it's like. I'll tell you spiritually what it's like.
And this dad said that he just wants every single parent to put themselves in his place of pure helplessness here.
Imagine your child being ripped from you like this. What it feels like is your entire future has been taken from you. Not just your son, but all his sons and all their sons have been taken from you. And put those two together and imagine yourself there, and you have some sense of what it's like.
Dad's name is Jeffrey Younger. The latest ruling yesterday has affirmed what the mom is able to do with their son. And it's, you know, there's a father's pain right there. Why we are allowing children to be possibly used as weapons in divorces or even as weapons in some social justice battle. Why can't all of this wait until every individual's an adult and can make their own decisions instead of having adults impose their will to sexually mutilate children? It's truly unbelievable to me. And that is your Big Lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Hey, I'm getting a lot of responses from you on how much Sound Transit is costing you. I'll share that with you and Awesome Audio coming up next. So, about 90 minutes ago, I asked you, Mike Lindblom, the outstanding transportation reporter for the Seattle Times, he put up a Sound Transit tax calculator. And all you have to do is enter your home value, your income, and how much you pay for car tabs. So you can get a total of how much you pay for Sound Transit every year. And remember, this is this year, but these taxes are going to continue for at least 30 more years. So take that number and multiply it by 30 and understand how much you and your family are giving to this rogue, out-of-control agency. And the responses are about what I expected from the 505. Just a touch over $2,000 a year for our family, Dory. So this family is going to pay $60,000 to Sound Transit for this boondoggle. And on it goes, $2,000. And I tell you what, if you're down in Pierce County, you very possibly voted no, because more people voted no than yes in Pierce County. And they got to pay $2,000 a year. $2,500. Just my husband and me, $1,059. The 206, $535 a year. Couple rent living in Renton, $1,372 a year. The 360, $1,679. I mean, the median looks to be certainly over 1,000, close to $1,500. 206, my Sound Transit tax is $960. Also, my truck I bought used 4 years ago for $26,000 is taxed by Sound Transit at $35,500. And if you bought it 4 years ago, it's worth less than $20,000. It's being taxed at $35,500. And this no campaign is trying to say that they cannot afford you saving more money by a yes vote? I mean, that illustrates. And again, I encourage, if you can go to the Seattle Times and get it, I also linked up Mike Lindblom's piece with the Sound Transit tax calculator on my Twitter, at Dory Monson. And you can just go and enter some basic data, and you will find out how much you are paying. And use that as part of your guide when you decide if you're going to vote for $30 car tabs. But this is why so many people are voting yes on 976, despite the government and most in the media colluding to try to get a no vote. The media, because Sound Transit buys advertising. The government, because they want to control more of our money. So go calculate it for you. And again, just you find the link right on my Twitter, and then decide. Will it kill them if you save a couple hundred bucks when you're already giving them $1,500 a year? It's insanity. All right, real quick, a little awesome audio.
This is Dory Monson's Awesome Audio. Clips of the day.
Okay, also on my Twitter, I played this about 90 minutes ago. I'm in love, platonically, because I'm happily married, she's happily married. But this Congress candidate in Alabama, are you kidding me?
I'm Jessica Taylor. I grew up in rural Alabama, hunting, fishing, and four-wheeling. But basketball was my first love. This was my squad. We went to the Alabama Final Four.
Shows her knocking down a three in the Final Four in the high school tourney, and she's mid to late 30s, just really a very attractive woman, too.
So what's next? Well, like you, I'm tired of arrogant socialists like AOC who've never even run a lemonade stand telling us how we should live in Alabama and that more government is the answer. I'm a steadfast conservative, a mom, a patriot, a business owner, and job creator. And even though it might trigger a few liberals, I'll fight to protect life, the Second Amendment, our borders, our military, our families, and President Trump from socialists in the swamp. And I won't apologize for it. I'm Jessica Taylor, and I'm running for Congress.
And all of this is one take where she throws a basketball over her head and into the hoop, blind shot.
I'm Jessica Taylor, and I'm running for Congress. I have zero interest in being a professional politician, but conservatives like us need a squad of our own, and I'll build it. So, Alabama, put me in the game.
That's where she throws the ball blind into the baskets. Great campaign ad. I got that linked up on my Twitter as well. Today's Sign Next. And down the stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day. Thank you to Dave Wyman for coming and hanging out with us today. If you missed anything, go check out the old podcast. We put them up right after we get off the air every afternoon. Wyman was on from 1:30 to 2 o'clock. You can always play along and name that artist, too. See if you get the songs before we do. Huge cash prizes for winners. Actually, we have no prize if you beat us. But pride is your prize. All right, before I get out of here, it is time for today's edition of...
Today's sign that the end is near.
Today's sign, the world is soon coming to an end. Dateline, Lake Stevens, Washington. Well, at least that was the hometown of the biggest box office star in the world and one of my best friends, Chris Pratt.
One of the top grossing movie stars in the world, Chris Pratt, is your 12th man.
Come on.
Flag raiser. Thanks, Dory. Oh, thank you, man.
Yeah, you're welcome, Chris. Chris Pratt is being targeted on social media today because he recently got married to Katherine Schwarzenegger, and he took a picture. She had made a pizza bagel bites for him in the oven, and one of them was charred beyond all recognition. So he posted the picture on Instagram and said, "Proud of my darling for trying to cook tonight. Did it go well? No, it did not. Not at all. To quote Rocky Balboa, it's not how many times you get knocked down, it's how many times you get up and keep moving forward. As you can tell from the lump of coal in the center of the plate, this bagel bite never stood a chance. I honestly simply cannot imagine what went wrong here. Pretty simple. Microwave. 2 minutes. Maybe she thought it said 2 hours. But I want to commend her for her effort. This is a big step, babe. Proud of you." And then his wife responded, "Looks like my plan to just have you do all the cooking is working out well." Well, Chris Pratt is now getting blasted all over social media. "The misogyny rings loud and clear." "I knew he was trash," said another. "He's condescending. Of course she goes along with it because deep down she knows she's replaceable. This guy plays on her insecurity." What a bunch of idiots on social media. Another person wrote, "Happy to be a lesbian." And then another, "Does it normally go well for you when you public shame your wife?" I think the reason that social media is particularly vitriolic toward Chris Pratt is because he's an out Christian. And that seems to be the group that the keyboard warriors despise the most. Today's sign story number 2, Dateline United States of America, the greatest country on earth. Are you with me, people? I got to hand it to the Democrats. You know, while Donald Trump has focused on a strong economy, record low unemployment rates, the median family income having gone up $5,000 in less than 3 years since he became president, and we've kept our nation safe. While he focuses on all of those frivolous things, I got to tell you, the Democrats, they are laser focused on what America is truly, truly interested in. Elizabeth Warren, according to Town Hall, she is demanding swift action to protect transgender illegals attempting to enter the United States. She sent an 8-page letter to the Trump administration begging the administration to reverse immigration policies they consider harmful to transgender illegals and other vulnerable populations. So I tell you what. I don't think people care about their own unemployment and family income and keeping the nation safe. It's the Democrats who truly have their finger on the pulse of what Americans care about most deeply and passionately. And that's transgender illegals. Well done, Liz Warren. And then finally in today's sign, Dateline, wherever Kylie Jenner lives, I don't know where she lives, but she posted a video again on Instagram not long ago. She had some film crew in her house, and they walked into her baby's bedroom, and she sang a little ditty to her baby in the crib.
"Okay, we're going to wake Stormy up.
out of here and show you guys her room. Rise and shine, rise and shine, rise and shine, rise and shine.
Well, since her little rise and shine singing, rise and shine singing, that's tough for me to say. Because everything the Jenners touch turns to gold, Kylie Jenner has now trademarked the phrase rise and shine. She's filed the legal docs asking the feds for ownership of a slang version of the well-known phrase rise and shine. And so, do we have any rise and shine music by any chance? So she has already made a sweatshirt. On one sleeve, it says rise. And on the other sleeve, it says shine. It has already sold out, this sweatshirt. So now, according to her trademark, rise and shine products will cover belts, pants, coats, dresses, footwear, gloves, headbands, headwear, jackets, loungewear, scarves, sleepwear, socks, swimwear, and undergarments, as well as cosmetics. Honestly, of all of those, the last one I want is, I don't want a rise and shine undergarment. That doesn't sound right. So anyway, once again, they know how to make bucks in that family. And all of that is today's sign. The end is near. I got to get out of here. I have said everything I have to say for today. But I'm going to go home, think of a bunch of great stuff for our Wednesday show. Brock Huard will join me tomorrow. You know, it's hump day with Huard tomorrow. Have a fantastic Tuesday evening, and we will see you back here tomorrow, high noon. Hello.
Go to a show, you hope she goes. I've got nothing to say, but it's okay.
This show is truly good for nothing.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.